Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries live worship experience. We would like to thank you for tuning in. Join Apostle Christopher and Prophetess Crystal McQueen for a time of teaching, learning, revelation, and impartation as we go through the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, develop, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the broadcast at 718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the broadcast. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkrm.org. This is a healthy place for you to learn about us and see our upcoming events. While you're there, click the media tab during the broadcast to watch us live. We encourage you to become a vision partner with us. Our vision partners stand with us with their prayers and financial gifts, allowing us to spread the gospel across the United States and around the world. The way to true prosperity is to help and to give to the poor. Your financial gifts will help us to do more and be a blessing to those who cannot do for themselves. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the name of the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Hallelujah. We're going to do altar call this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're just now joining us, amen, we want you to just touch and agree with your neighbor, amen. If you do not have a neighbor next to you, amen, just begin to connect your faith with God's faith this morning, amen, as we begin to pray and intercede for those, amen, on the altar this morning as we come before the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just once again want to say thank you. Hallelujah. Once again, we want to come before you to magnify your holy name. Once again, Father, we just want to praise you because you alone are God. You are our King and our Savior. There is no one else like you. We've tried everything, God, and at the end of the day, we come right back to you because you are our Creator. You're the one that hears our prayers. You're the one that rocks us to sleep at night. You're the one that keeps the enemy at bay. You're the one that has the angels surrounding and encamping about us. You're the one, hallelujah, that covers us in the blood of Jesus. You're the one that raises us up. You're the one that restores. You're the one that revives. You're the one that heals. You're the one that brings back to remembrance our purpose, our kingdom assignment. You are the one, oh God, and we come this morning to lay our issues. We come this morning to lay our challenges. We come this morning to lay our family members. We come this morning to lay maybe standing in the gap and interceding for other ones, other people, places, things, the situations you told us, gave us a burden for. We come this morning in the name of Jesus. First of all, we decree and declare that you are God over it all. Hallelujah. Whatever the situation may be, Father, whatever we're facing on this morning, whatever we may be dealing with this morning, we decree and declare that you are the God of the impossible. You are the God of the supernatural. There's nothing that gets by you. You are God over it all. And we submit it at your feet this morning. Father, we call upon the great name of Jehovah. We ask that you would heal. We ask that you would bring deliverance. We ask that you would bring restoration. We ask that you would go into the surgery room, God, and begin to operate. That you would guide the hands of the surgeons for those that are dealing with that this morning. Father, for those that are dealing with sickness, God, we ask that you would raise them up in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would heal cancer. We ask that you would heal heart issues. We ask that you would deal with livers this morning. We ask that you would deal with pancreas this morning. We ask, God, that you would deal with high blood pressure, low blood pressure. We ask this morning, Father, that you would deal with mental capacities, Father. We ask that you would deal with heart issues, those that are struggling with unforgiveness, Father. Can't let go of what happened in the past. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would strengthen them this morning, cut ties and cords that the enemy keeps using for them to be repetitive in cycles, not moving forward in what you called them to do. In the name of Jesus, Father, we also ask that as you're raising up this new army, God, as you're raising up your people, as you're preparing us for your coming, God, that you would begin to allow your wisdom, your knowledge, your anointing to rest upon our lives. God, whatever we have to strip ourselves from, we give it to you right now. We want nothing. We want nothing to keep us separated from you. Give us the power. Give us the strength. Whatever the situations, what we've been struggling with over and over again, God, we cut the ties and the cord by the power of the mighty name of Jesus. We uproot everything that has been hindering us, everything that we've been holding in our minds, all stinking thinking, all mind-binding, mind-blinding spirits. We cast out now in the name of Jesus. We loose the spirit of freedom. We bind our mind to the mind of God. We bind our will to his will. We bind our vision, our hearing, our speech, our members, hallelujah, our purpose, our destiny. Bind it to the will of God, the word of God, the ways of God, and the purposes of God. In the powerful name of Jesus, God, we thank you for raising up your people. We thank you that we are arising from the ashes. God, we thank you that you're bringing us into new dimensions, new strategies. We thank you for new financial breakthroughs. We thank you, Father, that you're bringing us into those wealthy places that you promised us, whether psychologically, mentally, emotionally, or physically. We thank you that the promises that you've given us have been yes and amen. We thank you that we're getting ready to walk into the manifestation of what you promised us. Now, God, we just bless your name this morning. Once again, as our senior leader comes, we ask that you would anoint his mouth, his tongue, his head, every ounce of him. God, anoint him in the blood of Jesus. Anoint him in the oil, oh God. Allow him to speak forth your word on this morning. In the powerful name of Jesus, let someone hear and be set free. Let someone hear your word and be delivered. Let somebody hear your word and be saved. Let someone hear your word and be set free. We give your name all the praise, God, all the glory, and all the honor that is due unto you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Say amen. Amen. Put those hands together. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Family, we thank you this morning for joining us. We welcome you. I am Prophetess Dr. Crystal McQueen. Amen. Good morning to each and every one of you, and welcome to the celebration of Jesus Christ right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen and amen. Just want to let you know there is a word from the Lord this morning, amen, coming forward from our senior leader, Chief Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Kingdom Convergence, the organization, amen. He will be coming before you soon to break the bread of life before you. Prior to that, family, please, if you would, if you are in the Brevard County area, please join us for Tuesday night Bible study, Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. At 7 p.m. for prayer for 1 hour, 7 to 8 every Thursday night. Friday night, we're here also at 7 for JAM, Jesus and Me Ministry. And Sunday morning, we conclude our services, amen, with our live worship Sunday service at 9 a.m. Again, if you are in the Brevard County area, please join us at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in Cocoa, Florida. For those of you who are not in the Brevard County area, you could still be a part of our services, go to our website, family, www.ctkrm.org. There you can catch us live, amen. And while you're catching us there, we also ask and pray that as the message goes forth and if the word of God is connecting with you, amen, share it with somebody, first of all. Amen. Hit that share button. But not only that, we ask that you would sow into the anointing, the word of God, amen, that we can continue pushing forward and doing what God has called us to do. Amen. That's right there at www.ctkrm.org. We have several methods where you're able to give. Amen. So if you just look on the website, you'll be able to find that immediately as you're watching us. We also like you to connect with us through our pages. Amen. You can find me under Prophetess Crystal McQueen or Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. And there you can also connect with us live as well. Amen. Amen. Those are the events and the announcements, family. As I said before, it is time for the word of God. So please, as we are resting on our feet, Christ the King, those of you who are watching, amen, go ahead and get your Bibles, get your apps, amen, and get your pens and your pads, something that you can take notes with. And if you would, please let us receive none other than our senior leader, Chief Apostle McQueen. Can we bless God for his life this morning? Amen. And amen, as he is preparing to come. Amen.
Come on, give God a praise. Come on, give God some glory. For the Lord is good. Amen. And his mercy endures forever. Look at your neighbor and just tell him this is the day that the Lord has made. I made up in my mind that I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And we're praying. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you have given us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because this day you have created for us. It is our responsibility, therefore, to give you praise today. Lord, we lift your name up. We magnify your name. We worship you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, even now, we ask that you would touch our eyes that we can see the revelation of what you're showing us. Our ears that we receive your instruction, oh God, your directions for our life. Our minds that we can comprehend the magnitude of what you're giving us. Oh God, touch our hearts that we don't become so emotionally involved that we fail to remember that you are in charge of it all. Lord, we thank you and we praise you right now for all that you have done and all that you are doing. We glorify you and we love you. This day, let every heart say amen. Come on, let's give them a praise in advance for every miracle, every sign, and every wonder. Glory to God. I am excited about what God is doing. Amen. Look at your neighbor, just tell him God is doing something great. And it's interesting when we talk about God is doing something great that we actually have to bring our hearts and minds into alignment with his expectations of this day. See, it's easy for me to think about it, if you will, what I would want to see and how I would want to see it and what I think this day should do. But God has already designed what he wants it to do. Amen. He knows exactly where it's going and how it's going. And look at this, why it's going there. Amen. And because he does it like that, we're simply those who come along with him, and we are satisfied that he allows us to be part of it. Amen. So we are we're rejoicing in it, thanking God for those who have been standing with us and those that will stand with us. God has something great that he is doing in our today and in our now. And don't miss it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss it. It's so easy for us to become so inundated in our daily plans and exercises and routines that we forget about God. And then after the fact, after all has happened to us, then we ask God to help us through it. And God said, if you would simply just put me first, I would have told you about all those things. Think about it. If you could have stepped over some of the mess that you stepped in, what would have happened if you could have stepped around, if you could have just not gone down that way and went over here instead, you would have missed some stuff that the enemy tried to set up for your demise. Amen. But we don't think about it. What we do is we go about our day, our normal routine, and then after the fact, we say, Lord, you're going to have to help me. He said, I would have helped you if you would have honored me at the very beginning of the day. Amen. One of the things that Prophetess and I have gotten into the habit of is when we leave out in the morning is that we pray on the way or wherever we're going. And we'll be driving, and sometimes she's sitting in the car, and I'll look at her like, and she looks at me like, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, thank you for this day. And we touch and we agree at that moment. And the reason is because while you're moving, your mind is already projecting to where you're going. Amen. You don't get out the car when you get to work and then think, well, I need to do for work. No, when you leave your home, you're like, oh, I got to do this today. You're already in mode for it. So if you don't stop in that process and give God some time, amen, then you'll get to work and it'll hit you like a snowball. And you'll be in the middle of it before you recognize it. It's noon and you still haven't said, good morning, Jesus. Amen. So because we need him to guide us through the day, we take that time and we pray and we talk to him and we will allow him to speak to us. Sometimes after we pray and we're still driving, he begins to share with us certain things and drop certain things in our heart. And our conversation during that point in time allows us then to come back to some things that God is saying for us. Amen? And it is that allows us then to have insight for the day, because while we're thinking on that, we'll go back to what the Lord has spoke to us, what he said to us, and that helps to inform us for our day. Amen? So will y'all make a promise with me, and as much as you can, that you will begin your day and you will go through your day with prayer. Amen? Amen? Amen. Because we don't miss a post. Let somebody hit us right now on service. D.D., ooh. And God said, ooh, you preaching. Wait, somebody sent me something. Okay, just as important as that useless text you got about somebody's new cat video, okay, you need to be thinking about God, because after all is said and done, the one that created the cat, when the cat dies, you want to know if that cat went to heaven, amen? Well, how about you get there and find out yourself, amen? You can't get there if you have disregarded him, and then after you die, oh, yeah, let me get myself together. Well, I think I went to church one time. Oh, no, how about you live the life? It's important to live the life, amen? One of the things that we started on Friday, the Holy Spirit started talking to me about this, was 1 Samuel 14. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time for training. A lot of churches you go to and all they do is preach to you, preach at you. In this house, you need to develop and grow. So one of the things that we're going to do, and the Holy Spirit began to talk to me about, is that you need to be trained. You need to be trained so that you understand how to serve. Amen? One of the greatest things you could ever become is a disciple. But a disciple, the root word of disciple is discipline. Amen? So a lot of times you'll hear me say you need to discipline yourself. And the reason why you're disciplining yourself is because you need to know how to do this. Amen? You need to get yourself together. So instead of sitting back saying what can't happen and what won't happen, you need to make it happen. Amen? Amen. So let's read from, we'll go from the sixth verse. And, of course, we started at the first verse. But let's start at the sixth verse. It says, then Jonathan said to the young man who wore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then, here I am with you according to your heart. Then Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves. Look at your neighbor and say, it's all in the instructions. Amen. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hands, and this will be a sign for us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison. Everybody say both of them. Amen. Stop trying to send your leader to go do what you need to be doing yourself. Amen. Both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the hole where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and to his armor bearer. And notice before this, in this translation, it was the man who bore his armor. At this point, after all of this that has been said, he is called now an armor bearer. Amen? And said, come up to us and we will show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hands of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees. Everybody say, on his hands and knees. With his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half of an acre of land. And there was a trembling in the camp and in the field and amongst all the people. The garrison of the raiders also trembled, and the earthquake, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and there was the multitude melting away. Everybody say they're melting away. And they went there, here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, now call the roll and see who has gone from us. And when they had called the roll, surprisingly, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said to Ahijah, bring the ark of God here. For at that time, the ark of God was with the children of Israel. Now it happened while Saul talked to the priest that the noise which was in the camp of the Philistines continued to increase. So Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Then Saul and all the people who were with them assembled, and they went to the battle. And indeed, every man's sword was against his neighbor, and there was very great confusion. Moreover, look at this word here, the Hebrews who were with the Philistines. I want that to sink in just a little bit. Here, Saul is here with the army of Israel. And over in the enemy's camp are some Hebrews. Think about that now. Okay? Who were with the Philistines before that time, who went up with them into the camp from the surrounding country. They also joined the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle shifted to Beth-Aven. The Lord's word is blessed. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, we have to learn to serve. Come on, say it again. We have to learn to serve. Come on, clap your hands and give God a praise. This is going to be a real, real good one. Amen. One of the things that we have to understand, and I really feel like teaching this out because there's so many things here that we miss. We miss it when we try to jump to the hoop part of it. Okay? Y'all know what the hoop is. And then they came up and to the right and to the left. And Okay, now you got happy and everybody's jumping ready for you to tell the rest of the story, and we missed the principle because the devil knows this story because he was there watching the defeat. You don't need to hear the story. What you need to do is learn the principle that will put the enemy to flight. Amen? And the first thing that happens is you may have the tools, but you don't have the organization. At a certain point, the man who bore Jonathan's armor went from being that to his armor bearer. Amen? And the thing about an armor bearer is that we have this modern thought that an armor bearer is the person who carries your Bible, get your Bible and your cup, and where's your microphone with your special top on it because you don't want to use everybody else. And they walk behind you ready to serve. And when you get ready to speak, they come up and they put your stuff, praise the Lord, everybody, and they're setting your stuff in place and making sure that everything is right for you and everything. And then that is not an armor bearer. See, the problem is that people trying to give people something to do so that they can feel important. Sometimes that really plays on the ego of the person that you're serving, that I look at all these people, well, I can get them, get my, this, they didn't bring this up. So you're sitting there, you're saying, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. You can't even preach until they bring your old special Bible. I put it on your, all of that. It's things that we have tried to make the armor bearer into being, but that's not an armor bearer. There's a reason why you have to go through the process of training. And when I started this, I started talking about succession. Because one of the things you have to understand is everything that I do as your spiritual leader, you need to be able to do too. Okay, I understand that I might have been in this a little bit longer than you, but that doesn't mean that you do not come up to that level or that expectancy. My faith is an example to you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul was not Christ, but he recognized he was a model and an example. Amen? So my job then is to be a model and an example to you of what faith looks like in application. I'm supposed to do this to the point that you feel that God is about to do something great in your life because you see God do something great in my life. How many of y'all have experienced miracle signs and wonders since you got saved? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back and you start looking over your life and seeing some stuff that other people experienced and it didn't go as smooth or as well as it did for you, hey, amen, I could point out some stuff if I needed to. There's places where we have gone we weren't supposed to. A fight broke out and somebody got stabbed and it was just that close to you that you could have waved your hand and they could have felt the breeze. But the Lord kept you, and while that happened, you said, ooh, I was sitting in the big ear, and you ran back into the household of faith. Not only did the miracle, the sign, the wonder, that was a wonder, because it's a wonder that the fight didn't feel this way while you were out of place. It went that way. God allowed you to get back to the household of faith. And some people are still out thinking because it went that way, woo, that was close. Well, you know, next week when I come here, hold on. If he spared you last week, don't make the mistake and go there the next week. Amen? We have to understand that God gives us opportunity to get ourselves together because we're not perfect in our understanding. One of the things that you hear me say when I pray is I say, Lord, touch our mind so that we can comprehend. Because sometimes we miss the simplest thing because we didn't comprehend its magnitude in our life. God will turn around and cover you and do certain things and allow you to continue on and grow and develop. And we just think that these are just normal things that should have happened. It doesn't happen for everybody. You don't understand how valuable that is. until you have a friend or a loved one or someone you know that goes to a church where they're not being taught.
Mm-hmm.
If all that's happening to you is you being preached at, that's not good. Because while you're being preached at, yeah, you can get emotional. But then there comes the time when you have to apply that principle. And I tell you, if I'm preaching this today, then sometimes during this week, you're going to look back at this principle being played out in your life. Amen? So let's get to the principle. Because I don't want y'all to think that it's just about this fight here. It really isn't. First of all, Jonathan said to the young man who wore his armor, come up, let us go over to the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. One of the first things that you have to understand, amen, is that when God begins to save you and God begins to use you, and you begin to enter into training, you need to be close to the instructor. I think we have learned that through the internet that you can get degrees online. You don't have to go to the campus. Even the graduation, they will do at remote sites. Amen. Who is that, the one that will go around on a bus and will come to you and bring your degree to you to celebrate you amongst your peers when you get your diploma or you get your degree? I think that's wonderful. Except, you know, that works for that. It doesn't work for this. When God begins to decide, how can I say this? When God begins to deal with your development, he does not give you the option of distance learning and training. Amen? Everything that God does, then he does it up close. He didn't send word just to the disciples. Jesus walked amongst them, demonstrated the principles to them, and then sent them out two by two so that they could practice the principles. Look at this. After they practiced the principles, they came back to Jesus with testimony, accountability. We want people to train us and then release us to go be great without recognizing why you're being trained. Amen? Succession goes then that if we're going to continue a ministry, we have to have a ministry that can outlive its founder. Amen? We have to have a ministry that can outlive the pastor. We have to have vision and goals and directives that will last past generations. And what we find is that people are just in position today because it's finally my turn. But you're not worried about what's coming behind you, so you drive on until you fall out, and then somebody else picks up the reins and tries to figure out how you were driving it with the wheels already coming off. Amen? What we have to do is we have to build in succession. And part of building in this succession is developing disciples, those that will learn how to do the art that we're doing. So here, this young man is with Jonathan. Jonathan is not the king, but he is of royalty. Amen. He is the prince. He is the son of Saul. And with that, the first verse tells the story that he looked over there. And sometimes, let me just say this. One of the things that I found is that I do not hold people back. And the reason why I won't hold you back is, number one, if I hold you back and you don't understand the reasoning in my not now for you to go forward, then you'll do it out of disobedience and still be vulnerable. Amen? One of the things that people used to say is they're trying to hold you back. Ooh, you got it. Somebody needs to, you just need, if you do, I bet God would just, people come and, I would tell you there's many pastors who stepped out on somebody pushing them out that got out there and found out that the person who pushed you didn't even come with you. Amen? Let you go on out there, and while you bumping your head and being dragged along the bottom of every riverbed, while you bouncing along, they're sitting up there talking about, ooh, ooh, ooh. They're out there watching the show, but they're not in the water with you. Why do they do that? They do it because they sometimes people want to see your demise. You know, I don't like to talk about haters, but haters are real. Amen. Haters are people who see you and your potential and know whether or not you're ready to go out. And they'll tell you that this is your time and your season for your elevation, knowing that you won't go to church, knowing that you don't go to Bible study, knowing that you don't spend no time on your knees, and knowing that you don't have a solid communication link. You don't have the training because you're not discipled yet. See, there's a difference in going to church and being discipled. Notice that Jonathan wasn't talking to a team of men. He was talking to the man who bore his armor. Somebody's going to catch what I just said there. Sometimes you have to understand that the greatest place for you to be is not in the multitude, but in the few. Somebody say amen. Rangers don't go out with a big team. SEALs don't go out with a big team. They don't send rescuers in with a big team. You'll have teams of 2 and 4 and 6. You see that? And they'll go out. Jesus had 12. How many were showing up at the temple on a regular basis? I can tell you that it was multiples of that 12. Amen? But the 12 is who he used. And he even split the 12 down to 2 when he sent them out. While we're trying to find the biggest number around us, sometimes you don't need numbers. You need obedient followers. Somebody say amen. Because what he did here in this first verse is he looked and he saw a problem. And while he's seeing the problem, I believe that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him about what's about to happen. Look at this. We can tell this by the last words here. It says, come, let us go over to the Philistines garrison that's on the other side. The last words. But he did not tell his father. The reason why he did not tell his father is because he had watched his father, the king, not follow after the direction and the word and the voice of the Lord. So now he is second in command in direct succession to his father, and he's looking at the same problem that his father's sitting under a tree looking at. But his father does not have the wherewithal of how to settle the problem when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to Jonathan. Y'all see this? So he says, let us go over. And when they go over, the first thing that happens is he tells him, his armor bearer, he said, if they call us up and they say this, then we know that the Lord has given them into our hands. So he goes over and they show themselves. Point number one was instruction. Follow the instruction. Okay? Sixth verse. Come, let us go over to the garrison and be uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So, first of all, get your eyes off the numbers and get your eyes on the instruction. If you want to know how important that many or few is, put the instructions over there and put something together that has to be assembled and forget one screw. Okay, somebody must have did that already. Because you know that when you sit down or when it's supposed to do like this, which is why you bought it, and it keeps getting hung up on a certain place, and it just, and you looking at it and you don't know what's happening, and you calling the manufacturer and everybody else and you trying to figure out what's going on, and you had some extra pieces that's left. I got some extra parts. I don't know where they go. But this thing is working. Ma'am, sir, I need you to go back and look at the instructions. What parts do you have left over? It looked like a little screw and this little wooden
wooden roly thing. It's a dowel. The little wooden roly thing is okay. Okay. Go back to page 5. Did you follow those instructions? I don't know. Wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't even look at those things. I mean, this should be common sense, isn't it? Everything is not common sense, which is why they include instructions. Common sense to you is not common all the time. How many of y'all would tell the truth that there's some stuff that y'all had aha moments about? Okay, aha means that, ooh, I thought I knew it, and then I discovered I didn't, but now I do, okay? So when there's an aha moment, it means that there was something that was going on that you presumed or you assumed the outcome for that was not accurate. God does not deal with close and almost. God is a meticulous God. His plan, his strategy does not leave room for error. He tells you exactly what he needs. He says, go this far and wait there until you shall hear, because he knows what has to happen after that. If you are out of place when the instructions come, you'll have to go too far or you will have already missed a point. So he tells you to wait. Look at your neighbor and say, wait on the Lord. Sometimes that waiting on the Lord makes you feel a little anxious because you think you should be doing something, but really you need to be exercising patience. In your patience rests your soul. The survival is in your ability to wait. Sometimes you wait at the wrong time. We call it procrastination. But when God is doing it, it's not procrastination. God doesn't give you the last part of the plan because he knows if he gave it to you, you would try to do it quicker than it needs to be done. And you cause a problem for those that need to receive it. See, the blessing that God gives you and the blessing that he's sending you to be sometimes cannot come to pass in your time. It comes to pass in his time. Number one, because you need to know how to do it with his instruction. Second of all, the people who are going to receive the blessing have to make room to receive it. If you do it early, then it will not be, it'll be out of time. Amen. See, you can't make a Thanksgiving dinner for me on Tuesday when Thanksgiving's on Thursday and then tell us on Thursday, well, you know, we made it on Tuesday. That's the reason why God doesn't give you things ahead of time, resources ahead of time, because some of you will turn around and eat the turkey on Tuesday because you know you put your foot in it. Amen? Thursday come, you'll try to eat some leftovers, talking about, ooh, it was good when I first made it. No, how about you make it for Thursday when it was meant? The resources for the event, not for your consumption when you decide to do it. Y'all follow what I just said, right? So God knows that some of us are greedy and untrained. So he won't give you the full until it is time or Wednesday afternoon, while it's thawed, he'll give it to you, knowing it's going to take all night and it'll be ready tomorrow. That's when he gives it to you. Y'all mad because Tuesday you were thinking about it, and I said, he could have just gave it to me on Tuesday. We would still have some for Thursday. No. The presentation's on Thursday. I had to do that because, you know, this week here is Thanksgiving. Some of y'all can get that right there. You'd be mad if somebody bought you some leftover greens from last week, amen? I'm like, ooh, I made these last week, but I saved some for today. It's like, no. You need to, if you, mom don't get up and cook, and grandma and auntie and them, they cooking all night and baking all day, and you can't wait to get over it because you know they have put time, effort, and love into everything that they're doing. What happens if you show up and you see all the boxes of everything that they opened up and everything was store-bought, and you looking at them like, I know you didn't store-bought your pie. The one that you world famous known for, you should have, before Patti LaBelle put it out there, you should have put yours out there. Come on, let me get back to this. Some of y'all right now salivating. Y'all can't keep on a message thinking about Thursday. Thursday coming, but y'all better eat good today. Amen. So God doesn't give you all the instructions until he knows that you are able to follow the instructions. Sometimes the devil is in the details. The reason why you keep missing is because you keep jumping past the instructions. You throw the instructions away because you don't feel like you need to follow them. That's for people who don't know. Brother, sister, you don't know. Why? Because God didn't give you the instruction yet. And when he gives it to you, follow the instructions intently. Jonathan said here, if we let us go over and show ourselves. Everybody said ourselves. So when you get to the verse here where it says, so both of them, 11 first, so both of them showed themselves to the garrison. If only one of them would have showed themselves to the garrison, the recipe now has been broken. Y'all see that? Instructions have not been followed. This thing isn't working like it's supposed to work. You see? So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine garrison. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. And then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan. The second point that I made was that you need to stick with your leader. Amen? Because if God has given instruction that you feel nervous about, but your leader is confident that they have heard from God, you'll both learn how to hear from God more acutely, amen? The reason why you're saying, Lord, I'm trying to hear from you, and he sends you to your leader do something, you say, ooh, I don't know if I could do that. Well, see, that's why you're learning how to hear from God, because if the leader heard from God and you're trying to learn to hear from God, when the leader moves and you move, then you understand how God is speaking and how God is communicating. It helps you next time God speaks to you, and it feels like one of those situations where you're like, ooh, I don't know. Wait a minute, hold on. That right there might be God. How do you know? Because the last time I felt that way in that situation, I was with my leader, and God spoke to them, and we watched God move. You see that? We're still talking about training in succession. We're still talking about how do you come to know God. There's some things that we're going to have to go through that you're going to have to learn how to go through too. I like this right here. They showed themselves. 13 first. Look at these words. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees. Two things here. One of them, thank you, prophet, is prayer. You can't follow God's instruction without prayer. Because in the middle of your following the instruction, there might be an addendum. There might be an amendment. There might be a change to what the instructions are. How many of you have ever bought something, and as soon as you go to use it, you have to log on to the internet, and the internet tells you there's a newer version of this, and they make you download the newer version. Now, you just bought it. Like, say, for example, Microsoft Word. You get Microsoft Word, and you just bought it from the store. You come in, and you put it on your machine, and then you put in a serial number and everything else, and you do like this, and it goes through the, what we call the beach ball of death, and it's sitting there spinning, and then you'll see the words, a newer version is available, and they take you to the site where you can click, and they'll download the newest version of that program. So this is the problem. If you decide to opt out of that, then all of the things that they have worked on to improve the product, you now don't have. Okay? You're expecting God to do certain things that he can do, but you won't prepare yourself so he can do it through you. There is an update to what you previously had. Y'all see it? So God has to prepare you for the update. because you're not able to receive it. You do not have the capacity to maximize what God will give you if you don't go through the update. You can't get the update just connecting to anything. You got to get it on your knees. Somebody say amen. So while you're on your knees, you get that spiritual download that changes something on the inside of you. And now where you didn't have the capacity to forgive at the level that Christ could forgive, now you see it differently. And now you have the capacity to forgive greater. You have the capacity to love deeper. You have the capacity to have greater faith and believe God even more intently, where you didn't have it before. Where did you get the download that changed your capacity? On your knees. Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees. I don't want you to think I forgot about the hands. Because the way that you demonstrate your capacity for greater is through your service. Everything whatsoever you find to do with your hands, whatsoever your hands find to do, do that in the name of the Lord. Don't tell me that God is about to take you someplace great and make your name known around the world and you're about to become multi-international and go on TV and everything else. Wait a minute, hold on. Before you do all of that, have you used your hands to wash the dishes at the church? Have you used your hands to vacuum the floor? Have you used your hands to clean the toilets and to help out in the kitchen and with the community projects that's going on? Have you used your hand to show somebody that the Lord loves them and use the hands and just simply hug sometimes and show? Have you used your hands to serve? I love the fact that this is Jonathan who's doing it. Because sometimes we think we get to a level where we sit back and everybody else do, and we just wave them on and shoo them off. But that's not true service. I'm so grateful that Jesus, after the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, the Passover, he girded up himself and he took a towel and he got a basin and he got down on his hands and knees and he began to wash the feet of the disciples. You're too proud to show hospitality, but you want everybody to show up at your church. And everybody come in has to come in at a certain way to you. The angels don't do that. Every time you say angel in this word, and the people fall down before him, they say, see that you do it not, for I am a fellow servant with you. How are we going to not be Christ but still make people treat us like him? Oh, Jesus, help us. See, your hands is important because it shows us what you do. Your knees are important because it shows us how you get your downloads and your instructions. But look at these next words. It says, with his armor bearer after him. Don't tell me that I got to show up as the pastor, but you as a member have an option of when you can. Oh, God, help us today. How are we going to get to the next level when everybody else has to do it, but we have a path? How is it that I got to study and let the Holy Spirit speak to me and smack me on the back of my hand and the back of my neck and point stuff out to me? But you don't have to do nothing but you choose whether or not you want to receive it or not. The Bible says, and his armor bearer after him. Now, if you don't think that this is important, it's important because where God is taking your leaders, you have to be able to follow. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to be able to follow. Following is one thing, because if you're just following from a distance, you don't think that you're affected by what's going on at the tip of the spear. But I want you to know that the tip of the spear and the shaft both get bloody. There's times when the sword comes, the back of the shaft takes the blow so that the front of the staff can deal a blow. You see that? I'm just going to be back here where it's safe. There's no safe place when you're in battle. Amen? There's bullets that haven't reached you yet. Don't mean they're not coming. And you have to have the same capacity of Kevlar where you are at the back as you do at the front. His armor bearer then has to have the ability to do exactly what needs to be done. What needs to be done? Well, let's read on. It says that Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. Look at this. And they fell before Jonathan. Brother and sister, you should be sending demons and the enemy left and right. If your pastor, if your leadership can send the devil left and right, why aren't you doing it? Ooh, when I get to church, I'm going to tell pastor on you, and he's going to make you flee. Don't wait till you get to church. Why didn't you rebuke the devil? The same power that God gave me is the same power you operate in. It is a delegated authority. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. Don't you ever think that you got to wait for your pastor to defeat the enemy in your life. You have the power. Because God has given you the authority. They fell before Jonathan. Look at this. And as he came after him, his armor bearer, what? His armor bearer, what? So the armor bearer couldn't just hold the armor. Somebody missed what I did. Just say it right there. Because some of you right now, you talking about I don't sing in a praise team, I don't have to do that, I don't do this, I don't say that. I go to church, we have good church, and I love my church and everything else, and you enjoying yourself, but you're not ready to kill when it comes time. Because you don't have strength in your arm. Why? Because while we were climbing up on our hands and knees, you were walking up behind us talking about, I don't know why y'all down there. God will take you through passages and places where you are forced into a certain way to transition through it. This whole thing between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozeth. The other was Sina. Okay? The front one faced northward toward opposite of Mishmash. The other southward towards Gibeah. It was a hard place. It was difficult for them to transition and come through. So the only way up is on your hands and knees. God knows how to give you the situation that will put you on your hands. And your knees. Oh, somebody's going to catch what I'm saying right now. God is trying to bring you up to a new level, but he knows that you can't walk into it. You got to climb into this next position. You got to do some work to get to your next victory. Don't think for 1 minute that it's just going to be given to you. Yes, he's giving you the ability. Yes, he's already gone before you to slay and to bring the enemy under subjection, but you still have to climb up. Still got to do it. You'll have to go through the process. And as you go through the process positions you. Notice that they climbed all the way up, but they still had enough strength in their arms to fight the battle. About a half an acre, they had already killed about 20 of them. Some of you talking about, I can't fast because I need my strength. You fast before you need to fast. You pray before you need to have a communication. You see that? Don't tell me that now you got to go into, ooh, I need to fast. No, now you need to eat because you need the strength. His armor bearer kills them. They fail. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I just saw that. Going back over there to that 13th verse. Look at this. It says, Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. Look at this. They fell before Jonathan. All right? And as he came up after him, his armor bearer killed them. Now I'm gonna just give you this right here. We show up and the enemy falls before us. But the place where he needs to be killed is in the pew. The devil knows that he can't come to leadership and cause a critical rupture or failure. So he starts talking in the pews. People can't get together. And if you, as an armor bearer, one who's praying and coming up, if you don't recognize that it's your job to kill him, you'll have the conversation with him and go on past him while he's still alive. Now your rear flank is vulnerable because the enemy that you left alive can come back to stab you on your back. And some of you right now are mad because people that you thought were with you, you found out were your biggest haters and enemy. And it wouldn't be that way if you were to kill the enemy when they fell before the leader. They can't stand up to the instructions. They can't stand up and be obedient to follow. Then you shouldn't be sitting there with them. Because eventually you'll feel that you have an out to obedience and following. Y'all hear what I'm saying to you? Is it in this word right here? Is this what we see? Jonathan came up, his armor bearer behind him. They fell before Jonathan, but his armor bearer killed them. I ain't trying to do all of that. If I stay back here, then I don't have to worry about no spiritual warfare. Brother, sister, you in the fight already. You better learn how to pick them up and get to it, because it's not getting easier. See, this is the thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Y'all remember the movie, what was it, The Matrix? Remember that blue pill and that red pill? I ain't going to preach it right now. I'm just going to say this. Some of you need to understand that there's no going back after you choose the red pill. All right? See, the blue pill left you in your state of unknowing, okay? But the red pill opened up your senses, and now you know. And even in one of the follow-up movies, the guy said, don't you wish sometime that you had to take the blue pill? And some of you right now think that you can still go back and take the blue pill, but the blue pill does not exist after you have taken. Can I just give you this little secret right here? Notice that when your blood is in your system, the color of it is green and blue, right? When oxygen hits it, it becomes red. Once oxygen hits it, you can't make it blue. Okay, see. So when you got saved, you came out of not knowing, and his blood then became your life. The oxygen of creation breathed down on you, and you became a born-again believer. Red is your color. This fight you can't run from, because this fight is what you were saved for. You are the body of Christ. Put on the whole armor of God. Stop trying to find a way to stay at the back well, I just serve the soldiers that's been wounded. No, no, you're going to be one of those that's wounded, because when the front moves, if you're not moving, you are the new front. Amen? You have to know how to kill the enemy. Let me see this here. Stop trying to kill your brother and sister because they won't let you stay in your mundane state. I feel we need to pray. Oh, you just try to be too deep. Thank God they're trying to be too deep, because you're not. You need to learn how to allow God to move you to the next place so that you can survive. We're in a season right now where we have to be taught survival and succession. Look at your neighbor and say, you next. I'm 50, whatever I am, years old, amen. And one of the things that I found out and I recognized dealing with other pastors and other ministries, I'm watching there are those who have died and those who are moving into retirement. And I was telling someone else, I said, one of the problems that I'm finding is that we have people who were pastors and leaders and bishops and the like, and they were that all their life, and they never trained nobody to come up after them. And then they died in office, and people are sitting back trying to figure out how did they keep the doors open when they didn't work. But they always had the bill money to take care of. They don't know where that money came from and where those resources. But now they sitting here and they got the church. You finally made it to the pastor. I'm the pastor. Thank God I'm the pastor. Now y'all going to do what I say. And the first thing that you find out is that the same people that were dependent on the last pastor are dependent on the new pastor. And you don't know where those resources coming from. People are going to be disgruntled with you. Amen. The doors still have to stay open. The lights still have to come on. Amen. The microphone still got to have batteries in it. Where's that money coming from? When the people are mad, they don't give. And when they don't give, then that money has to come someplace. I'm trying to help you out now. If we don't train and teach you why it's important for you to invest in the local ministry, then the local ministry will die. Amen? So it is important for you to recognize, not only do I need to support it, I need to help it grow. And we need to look at not who's going to be next, but how can I expand what God has given us to do. Let us go up. Let us show ourselves. And then as we're moving forward, as God gives me opportunity, let us grab and gain the victory. Amen? Come on, clap your hands. I'm not done. Y'all know I'm just going to pray. Come on, prophetess, take us home.
We bless the Lord for that word on this morning. Amen. Amen. God has got some things in store for us. But as we're moving into our place of manifestation, this is not the time to stop praying. Amen. This is not the time to keep seeking Him, because you're going to need new wisdom. You're going to need fresh discernment. You're going to need your gifts dusted off. Amen. You're going to need to strategically hear and know the voice of the Lord in this season. Amen. Amen. That is why God has been pushing by the Spirit of the Lord. He has been pushing and trying to shake His people and get them to a place where His voice is the only voice that matters. Hey, glory to God. We still, because He's preparing us, amen, to fight. We already have the victory because the word already is written and says we have it. But He's still trying to get many of us out of that old mindset, out of that old stinking thinking, amen, to understand that the greater one lives on the inside of us. And not that we're just speaking it as a word because it sounds cute as a cliche, but to really understand who it is and who we are in God. Amen? Amen. So we bless God again for the word that has been given. We just thank all of you for visiting us. Listen. If that word, that anointing, amen, is ministering to you, the word of God is ministering to you, and you see yourself growing, you see yourself connecting, amen, we just invite you to go to our website, www.ctkrm, and sow into the word for your life. Didn't say so into me. I didn't say so into Chief Apostle. I said so into the Word of God. Amen. For your life, you're sowing into the Word that God has spoken through the man of God. Amen. And as you're sowing, God is going to be doing things in your life. I'm a witness. I'm not telling you something I don't know. I'm telling you something that has been manifested in my life. Amen. As we sow into the Word, God begins to move because He honors His Word. Amen. Amen. So with all that being said, I would just like to thank you all for joining us. Please meet us again on Tuesday at 7 p.m. for our Bible study night, Kingdom Lifestyles Training Institute. That is at 7. You can connect with us once again through www.ctkrm.org or catch us on Christ the King Redemptive Ministries on our Facebook page, as well as Prophetess Crystal McQueen or Apostle McQueen. Family, I just want to let you know that we love you. God bless you, and we will see you again next week. Be blessed in His name.